Praise the Lord. Woo. Wonderful anointing. Wonderful. Think about that. The first song, God will make a way where there is no way. I don't care what challenges you face in your life, God will make a way where there is no way. Period. He said it. He'll do it. That simple. Today we're going to do Be Strong in the Lord and Power of His Might, Part 2. Strong in the Lord is very important. The stronger you're on the Lord, the better you're going to have getting through the challenging times ahead. Let's do a quick review of Part 1. Now, whenever you want to review a service, you can watch the rebroadcast a week later on abcbms.org. Now, in addition, this personalized Armor of God prayer can be downloaded and printed out at abcchurchondemand.org website. So, the Armor of God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. I put on the full armor of God so that He can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why I must take up the full armor of God, so I may be able to resist in the evil day. Having prepared everything to take my stand, I stand therefore with truth like a belt around my waist, righteousness like armor on my chest. My feet are sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, I take the shield of faith, and with it I'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. I pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, that I stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I pray that when I open my mouth, I make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador, and I pray that I am bold enough in Him to speak, as I should, to those the Lord leads me to minister to. Amen. The armor of God, your protection and your weapon all at the same time. We're going to need to have that ready as we go forward to these challenging times ahead. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now these verses here are going to be out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible Version. We're going to start with Hebrews 4:12. That's Hebrews 4:12. Holman Christian Standard Bible Version. Speaking the word of God is powerful, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. Now we're going to go to Matthew 21:22. This is still in the Holman Christian Version. Matthew 21:22. Okay, Matthew 21:22. And if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. The word of God spoken in faith with actions is powerful. Now the next verse to get ready for ahead is Isaiah 55:10-11. But going back to if you believe and you receive. So you take actions about what you've spoken for. You believe that you receive it. We don't hope for it. Now, I want you to think about David. When he went up against Goliath, did he hope he was going to kill Goliath? Or did he believe he was going to kill Goliath? Not only did he believe he was going to kill Goliath, if you read the verses, it says, He will kill Goliath. He will cut off Goliath's head and give the entire Philistine army's carcasses to the birds. Because he knew God was with him. And he had faith for it. And he wasn't even spirit-filled. What's your excuse? Okay? Isaiah 55:10-11. For just as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat. 11. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. So as you speak your prayers out, you believe that it will accomplish what you send them to do. Not hope. Hope is fine. Believe that this will come to pass. And of course, Proverbs 18:21, this is the most famous verse. Proverbs 18:21, still in the Holman classified. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it, we eat its fruit. This says right here, that as you speak, you either create life or you create death. As you speak. Now remember, for those of you who've been through healing school, day one, we talk about the power of the Word of God, how He spoke everything into existence. He spoke light. He spoke the earth. He spoke things into existence. He's given us the same power. We have to activate upon it. Okay? Now, Apostle Joshua has taught us speaking the Word of God and watching negative things that pop up in our thoughts and slip out of our mouths. Pastor Karen, I've been very, very careful lately as we've learned from the sayings that come off that we just think, don't even think about anymore. And I start researching where they come from. There's a lot of things that we have to stop saying. And when you think about the origins of these things, it's like, why would I say that? You know, now, some things are okay. You know, don't go off half-cocked. That goes back to the days of the muskets when you had to cock it and re-cock it. Well, if you half-cocked the musket, you wouldn't fire right. So you got to make sure you're properly prepared for whatever you're going to do. Usually though, people are in a rush when they go off half-cocked. That's what it was. Stop about being in a rush. There's other ones I won't go into them today, but as you think about these little sayings that we say, think about where they came from. And you can decide for yourself whether you want to stop saying them anymore. Okay. Now, you might want to get out a piece of paper, pen, or those who use phones or computers. I want you to think about something here. What bad fruit do you see in your life? Okay. What is your Goliath? Do you have a health challenge? Financial challenge, whatever it is. Rewind the video in your mind to see if you said something that may have allowed the devil to attack you in that area. I've heard people, when I went to the gym, who would say that they could never lose weight. They didn't. I've heard people give a prosperity teaching and walk out and say, I can't afford that car. They couldn't. I've heard people block their prayers by their words continuously because they can't stop saying what the doctor said. The doctor says they have cancer. That's fine. Call it a diagnosis, but don't say that you have it yourself. Whatever it is, watch the words of your mouth. It's so, so important to watch the words of your mouth. Now, the reason I'm doing this, we've been locked down for a couple years. We're starting to react with people. And as you do this, old habits are starting to creep back in. No disrespect with this comment. We've all been there. But because the world has changed around us, we have to resharpen our swords with our tongue and be very, very careful with everything that we say. We cannot be lax here. We cannot be complacent. Okay? Now, did you get offended? Did you have unforgiveness? or any fear or worry about something that was the open door for the enemy to come in and attack you. You need to find out what this is so you can stop the enemy from attacking you. What is the opposite of the devil's lies that bring sickness, poverty, and death? God's truth through his word. Now, what scriptures can you think of the opposite of the lie, of those lies that can affirm that will bring God's word to speak life or more life abundantly to you? Okay. Write them down right now. The most famous one for people who are sick is, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. Financial problems, God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Whatever it is a scripture, you speak that scripture over your challenge continuously. As you do that, you'll build up your faith. Okay? So you want to keep practicing and affirming that. Memorize them. Keep them affirming. There was a lady I knew years ago during one of the recession times. She needed a job. Well, she didn't want just any job. She wanted a job with a certain salary. She wanted close to home. She wanted a company car, which was basically unheard of. But she wrote all that down on a piece of paper, and she plastered it all over her house. And every time she said it, she'd speak it into being. People stop by and say, have you got your job yet? She goes, yes, I have. Where's that? Don't know, but I got it. And her faith brought her exactly that job with one quite challenge. She wanted X amount of dollars for the job, and they paid her 20% more. So, you know, I guess that was... The word works when you work the word. Okay. So negative words spoken bring negative fruit. If somebody says they're fearful, it means they're not full of faith, but full of fear. Faith pleases God. Fear pleases the devil. Now, we came out of the pandemic. The pandemic was the devil's master plot of getting many, many, many people into fear. And you saw that. Today, you still see people that are walking with masks, keeping away from people and so forth. And that's fine. That's their choice. I get it. Okay? But the bottom line is, it's still satanic fear. Okay? Now, positive words spoken bring positive words, positive fruit. As God's word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of one power, love, and sound judgment. That's 2 Timothy 1:7, if you want to look that up later. We didn't have a spirit of fear. David did not have a spirit of fear. He went against Goliath. He ran towards Goliath, towards his challenge, and defeated it in faith. What's your challenge? Run toward it, not away from it. Run toward it and beat it with the word of God. Okay? Now, are you truly convinced that God's word is more powerful than every challenge you face? And you get your solution by God's way? Or you rely on your own way? Or the doctor's way, or medical science's way, or some other worldly way. Now, I've been doing some research lately on a couple things. I'm studying Peter some, and there's two fish stories about Peter that kind of prove this point here. As we all know, Peter fished all night long. He was a professional fisherman. His family were professional fisher people. Everybody around him were fishermen, okay? And Jesus says, go out in the deep and put your net down on the right side of the boat. He says, I fished all night and caught nothing, but on your word, I will do this. Now, two things here. He didn't rely on his own judgment at that point in time. He gave up his way. He believed the word of God and the promise of Jesus at that point in time. He went down and caught so many fish that the boats were about to sink. Now, as you know, I like to read between the lines and imagine the scenario there, okay? If he had just caught an excessive amount of fish, and he also caught a lot of fish too, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, It's my personal belief, and I can't prove this, this is my personal belief, but I believe that every fisherman out there fished all night long and didn't catch anything. And that's what made this such an exceptional blessing. Because the law of supply and demand, they can now sell these fish for a lot of money because there wasn't any other fish out there. That's the theory. That sounds good. Because God does things in ways to really bless his people. He does things in ways to show that he is really superior. Okay. Now, the other time is they need to pay taxes. Jesus says, go and catch the first fish, take the coin out of his mouth, and pay my taxes and yours. Doesn't make any sense in the natural. Why would a fish carry a gold coin in its mouth? Because God put it there. So I may have dropped in, the fish has picked it up, we don't know. We don't know if that fish had it for weeks or months or whatever, and maybe, we don't know. But at that point in time, at the word of God, Peter had the faith to go out and catch one fish to pay taxes. The key point here is, when God speaks, we need to listen. Whatever he tells you to do, it's going to bless you abundantly. Okay? But you've got to act on faith. Too many people hear God's voice and don't know his voice well enough to make sure it's him. We have to hear God's voice, okay? Now, ways based on fear of God's words, that God's word is not more powerful. The people's way, the world ways. People have a fear that that's not more powerful than God's ways. Everything in God's way is more powerful, okay? Once again, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Where did it come from? The enemy. Okay. Next verse we're going to go to is John 10:10. Won't be up on the screen. Just write it down. John 10:10. John 10:10 says that the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Now, living in abundance of God, including the abundance of peace of mind, comes by being in the opposite of fear. Fear comes from the devil. Fear allows the devil to steal your love, joy, peace, and patience. Fear allows the devil to steal your health and your healing. It brings sickness, which leads to death. Fear allows the devil to steal your prosperity. Fear allows the devil to steal your good reputation and destroy your life. Faith in God's blessings in abundance, you can live a heavenly life right here on earth. Faith brings that. Faith in God. Okay? We're going to go to Romans 8:13-17 now. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, again to fear. You've been taken out of fear. Satan wants to come back and give you more fear. You don't fall into that trap because you have faith in God. Before you were born again, you were challenged continuously. Now you have faith in God. The spirit that's inside of you is stronger than he that's in the world. Okay? But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Okay. How do we overcome fear and fall back into the spirit of bondage again to fear? Let's go back to verses Romans 1:8 in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We're going to go to Hebrews 11:5-6. Explains how to please God. It's Hebrews 11:5-6. You can write down the verse and look it up later. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not experience death. And he was not found because God took him away. For prior to his removal, he was approved, since he had pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. So how do we get faith? Ephesians 2:8. This is in the Amplified Classic. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Through your faith, and this salvation is not of ourselves, but in your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Now going on, we're going to Hebrews 4, chapter 4, 1 through 4. Again, just make notation of the verse. Look it up later. Hebrews 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Nobody's late, nobody's short. Okay. For indeed, we have the glad tidings, the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith, with leaning of the entire personality in God and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones Joshua and Caleb who heard and did believe. So Joshua and Caleb heard and believed, and they had the faith, and they went in the promised land. The others heard but didn't believe. They were still in the flesh. They couldn't believe God could do the impossible for them, even though he'd already done the impossible for them before. Okay? For we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God, do not enter that rest, in accordance with his declaration, that those who did not believe should not enter, when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. And this he said, although his works had been completed and prepared, and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. Now we're going to go to Mark 4, chapter 4, verses 39 and 40. Mark chapter 4, verses 39 and 40. Mark 4, 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. 40. But then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus expects them to have faith. He expects them to already have faith. He expects you to have faith. Whatever challenge you're coming up with, have faith. Believe that God will deliver you from every challenge, obstacle, whatever the devil's throwing at you. It does not matter. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, torment, and so he who is afraid has not reached a full maturity of perfect love, is not yet grown to love's complete perfection. 1 John 4:1-4. This is in the New King James Version. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, is now already in the world. You are of God, you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, it says the spirit, it will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, not of God. Jesus was resurrected. We talked about that last Sunday. Antichrist people will not confess Jesus has been resurrected. They will confess he's of God, but they will not confess. That's one of the reasons you'll know if it's a true prophet or a false prophet. The true prophet will say, Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. The false prophets will not be able to say that because they don't want to decree that. As we said last Sunday, that is the proof of everything about Christianity, that Christ rose from the dead, his resurrection. Okay. Now, God made Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits. They rebelled against God. God's power is greater and stronger than theirs. God's power is inside of you and me. God's power defeated all evil. You don't be afraid of Satan, demons, devils, evil spirits, because the truth is, they are afraid of you. As you stand in faith and grow your faith to the next level as an overcomer of God, that God made you be preparing for the end times to live and remain, to meet Jesus in the air and the rapture. You look at every single challenge you're going through as a chance to build your faith and get stronger. And every time you overcome one, you get stronger. Overcome another, you get stronger. Just as David didn't run from Goliath, he ran toward Goliath, run toward your challenge, become stronger, become that overcomer that Jesus is looking for. Become that person of faith that Jesus comes. He says to earth, will I find faith? Yes, because you've overcome challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge because you are an overcomer. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to pray over you now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, worship, I glorify your holy name. I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you that the people that receive this now take this opportunity to grow their faith day by day. Day by day. Every single day they get a little bit stronger. I'm a big believer in the 1% rule. Grow 1% a day. By the end of the year, you've grown by 300%. It doesn't even count compounding. 1% a day. Get stronger and stronger and stronger. Get that faith built up in you. Believe that what you pray, you've already received. Stand on the word that you've been healed. Stand on the word that whatever your challenge is has been thrown in the sea because you are people of God and you have the faith. You've got the courage and the boldness to go forth and to fight the enemy and to stand there and resist the devil, and he will flee from you because he's afraid of you. And this gets to the point when you get out of bed, they're going to say, oh no, they're up. We've got to run now because you're overcomers, every one of you. And we love you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody can see RRB and get ready to take communion, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us. Jesus, we take this body that you so graciously gave for us. You said the night of the Last Supper, this is my body. Take this, eat, do this in remembrance of you. Remember you and all the pain, suffering, and that you sacrificed for us. And we do this in remembrance of you and thank you for it now. Receive in Jesus' name. In the same night you took the blood, the wine. So this is my blood. Take this and drink this in remembrance of me. It is to reclaim my death till I return. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave your blood, your precious blood, the price that you paid for all of us to wash this clean as snow. We take this now in remembrance of you. Thank you.